See, actually, on in text 30.
We'll finish 31.
Today's section will be 32 to 34. The whole thing. Let's cover all that. I think we must have it. Yeah. Okay.
32.
So, you should chat 32?
Normally, they do their reading, so
okay.
We don't have to cover everything in the class.
Yeah.
They come from their reading.
Yeah.
And then we discuss any points or okay. Some specific point you would like
to know. Okay. Last time go over the summary then. Okay. Maybe I could be happy to do this again tomorrow. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right? The next class is Friday.
No, for this week is Monday.
Monday, Wednesday. Monday, Wednesday. So we chat text 32. 32.
No, sometimes we do the translations of the verses.
So you don't chat responsibly?
No, but as you like to do. Normally we're working with us some discussing points for us.
Okay. Please repeat. Etat. This is Shema Bhagavatam 1532. Etat. This much. Sansuchitam.
Sansuchitam.
Decided by the learned. Brahmana.
Brahmana.
Brahman. O Brahmana Vyasa. Tapatraya.
Tapatraya.
Three kinds of miseries.
Three kinds of miseries.
Chikitsitam.
Chikitsitam.
Remedial measures.
Remedial measures.
Yat.
Yat.
What?
What?
Ishvare.
Ishvare.
The Supreme Controller.
Bhagavati.
Under the personality of Godhead.
Karma.
One's prescribed activities.
Brahmani.
Unto the great.
Bhavitam.
Dedicated. So, you have the boy? Yeah, okay. Etat sangsuchitam brahmans.
Etat sangsuchitam brahmans.
Etat sangsuchitam brahmans.
Tapatraya chikitsitam.
Tapatraya chikitsitam.
Tapatraya chikitsitam.
Tapatraya chikitsitam.
Yarishvare
Bhagavati.
Yarishvare
Bhagavati. Yarishvare
Bhagavati.
Yarishvare Bhagavati.
Karma Brahmani Bhavatam.
Karma Brahmani Bhavatam.
Karmani karma brahmani bhavitam.
Karma brahmani bhavitam.
No, no.
Translation?
O Brahmana Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead.
And I guess we can just read a few more verses. One after another, want to read? Text 33. Yeah. English.
Does not thing apply to the cure a disease which was caused by the very same thing?
So what is a thing being applied therapeutically? He's talking about something which is not so good, right? We have some problem, a thing. But that same thing, when it's applied therapeutically, actually cures the disease. What is he talking about?
Material desire?
Yeah, or fruitive activities, no? Because before he says, it is decided by learning the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is dedicate one's activities. One's activities. So it's saying that before our activities are causing us problems. We're walking around and seeing different kinds of clothes and things like that, and thinking, oh, this would look nice for this party or that party, and then we go to the party and somebody insults us, and, you know. So, yeah? So he's describing kind of karma yoga, no? Karma yoga. Okay. Read the next text 34.
Thus,
When all the man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which cause his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work.
Yeah. That's okay. It's clear. The idea is clear. The concept. You've heard this before. In Bhagavad Gita, other places. 35.
Whatever work is done here in this life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord is called bhakti yoga, or transcendental loving service to the Lord, and what is called knowledge becomes a
concomitant.
Concomitant.
It's the same time. Right, with it like that. Like whenever the dog appears, his tail is a concomitant element along with the dog. Yad atra
kriyate karma bhagavat paritoshanam jnana yad tat adinam hi bhakti yoga samanvitam.
Any comments? Anybody has any thoughts about these things so far? Anybody made any notes? That's how we should do it. Like that. That's what you do. You ask people for your...
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
It depends on the
interaction. Yeah. So now he's expanding, because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the yoga ladder. So one verse. Where is that? It's in the sixth chapter. Yoga Ruksha, Yoga Ruda. In the sixth chapter, this discourse says that in the beginning, yoga means activity. And later on, there's a cessation of all activity. Yoga Ruksha, I think, is called the lowest rung. And Yoga Ruda is the highest rung, like that. So Prabhupada says everything we're doing is yoga. There's karma, jnana, and then dhyana. What do those mean? What is karma, jnana, and dhyana? How would you translate those?
Karma means knowledge.
And these are different aspects of human life. One time Prabhupada says karma means activity related to the development of future bodies. So you do fruitive activities and you get a result. And then jnana may also maybe more translated as wisdom than just knowledge in its higher aspects like that. Prabhupada translates it many times what is speculative knowledge, mental speculation. What is mental speculation? A term we use a lot. We're trying to avoid fruitive activities and mental speculation. Do you speculate? I've heard that Bhaktivinoda Thakur would speculate for 45 minutes a day. Intentionally. Yeah. It's a common term. Somebody has an idea? What is middle speculation? How would you say that somebody, she's speculating? What usually happens when somebody's speculating? Expectoration and spitting. Expectorate and spit. So speculation. You say, she's speculating. Oh, she's speculating about this. She's addressing the deities and say, she's speculating. What does that mean? She went to her mother and asked her how to do things? No? You gotta support the honor of your teacher here. All your students are blockheads. Over here, okay. What is speculation? He's speculating. We have a cooking a Sunday feast, and there's some subject, and say, "Oh, this."
I would say speculation is producing the own theories or some thoughts based on authority of mind, not on authority of scripture.
We also in the West we have like algebra, geometry, trigonometry, calculus. And see, these are all highly codified systems of speculation, like that. If, then, perhaps, maybe, it might be, I think. Prabhupada talks about sentimental speculation. know, speculation based upon the senses, the emotions, the senses like that. You know, I feel, I think. And so the mind has this function, usually in time, then that. And the mind has a limited ability. The mind, people are trained in different kinds of speculative systems. For example, in India, many people, there's not much difference between what they wish things were than they are. For example, like if an Indian tells you, oh, dinner will be at 6 o'clock. And you come at 6 o'clock and we're talking, and, you know, like 7:30 before dinner. So when an Indian told me, oh, in India that means everybody, that we wish dinner was at 6 o'clock. We hope that dinner is at 6 o'clock. You know? And oh, he did this, he did that, and this, I hope, I wish. So they don't separate so much their own desires from reality. So it's a really famous book in universities. Many, many freshman students had to study this book. What's it called? Critical Thinking. It's called Critical Thinking. And it's training you in logic. Like, is this a real argument? And this person said this and that. We'll say, no, it has this fault, that fault. How to present evidence, how to consider things. This is mental speculation. And we're especially trained in this in the West, in the time we're children. You know, mental speculation, numbers, counting. Right? Counting is a whole thing we learn. We're just so young, we even forget that it actually even has any, you know, that we're learning it. You know, we're so used to it now. But other people don't count so much. David, King David, was going to count all the people in Israel, do a census like that. And so this angel came to him and said, you know, David, I don't think this is a good idea, like trying to reduce people down to numbers like that and count them. It's a very, not a good idea. And so the author says, if you know the Jews, they had this, they never accepted what God said. In the Old Testament, they're always arguing with God left and right about everything, you know. But King David, in this case, said, yeah, you're right, I won't do it. So even he must have thought it was a pretty abominable idea, like that, to try and reduce things down to numbers, like that. Yeah? So we don't even think about it. We're so trained in this gyan approach. This gyan approach is so pervasive, you know, like that. And so the university system, right, you get your degree, but it's a gyan approach to things, like that. Yeah? So, you know, there's karma, jnana, and then yoga. And yoga means jnana. Jnana means meditation, actually fixing the mind on something without speculating, direct perception. And for this are higher techniques, which are not available in the Western knowledge. A yantra is like a diagram. A yantra can be like a diagram, like Sri yantra. You've seen this with triangles and things like that. There's a yantra on the altar next to the Shingadeva, I think. I mean, some kind of Shingayantra or something. You know? And so some of these are very standard. You know? So the mind can go into this mode. For example, when you're playing the flute, Kena in South America, you play the same melody over and over again, like for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. Like that. Maybe like 10, 15, 25, 40 people. Same set, maybe in 20-minute melodies, these for different times like that. So what happens is after a while, your mind stops speculating. What's the use of speculating? We know what's going to happen. So, if you're addicted to speculation, it's like that. It's like you start going crazy. So your mind just goes like, because it can't speculate. Try and stop speculating. Try and stop your mind from speculating sometimes. It's very difficult. You know, like that. So japa is a form of, should be dhyana, where we come to mantras there, so over and over again, then we just come to the point of the yantra, meditating on that. Then we can see it all at one time. There's no past, there's no future, which is essential for speculation. And it's all there. We can start to adjust it, our feelings, our relationship, our idea, like that. So that's dhyana, meditation. And beyond these is what? Karma, dhyana, bhakti, or yoga. Then you can have karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, or bhakti yoga. Right? So it's very subtle. You know. So a jnani is not the same as a jnana yogi. What's the difference between a jnani and a jnana yogi? What is the difference between a karmi and a karma yogi?
Difference?
Yeah, a karmi and a karma yogi.
Difference
Karmis are very regular. They go to work on time. They pay their taxes. They take care of their families, and then they enjoy the results.
I'm just saying that karmis are performing sacrifices.
They sacrifice their karma to Krishna. There's yoga. There's linking. It's not just for this world. Now it's a linking. So Prabhupada in this verse, you know, this yoga ladder he describes that in the beginning it's mostly fruitive activities. That's how we link up in yoga. But as we become more developing knowledge like this, this is speculative knowledge. Karma yoga, jnana yoga. We're using, you know, analytical abilities. This is jnana. So right now we're engaged in jnana yoga. We're trying to understand these things, you know, for the purpose of understanding Krishna. Okay, jnana yoga. And then, then you can go to a higher level like that. This, you know, dhyana yoga. Now I'm meditating on my chanting. Right? I'm meditating on the service to the deities like that. This, my mind is fixed. So that I can begin to see Krishna. And really, you know, my relationship, my bhakti can start to manifest. Yeah. So Narada Muni is describing so far, he says, whatever work is done here, is text 35, right? In this life, for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord, it's called bhakti yoga. Right? But you really have to do it for the satisfaction of the Lord. Not, you know, I'm honoring prasadam. Are you honoring, do you honor prasadam for the satisfaction of the Lord? Well, a lot of, you know, my body's satisfaction. Yeah, with that. You know, what example from scripture, some example of somebody who was honoring prasadam for the satisfaction of the Lord in transcendental consciousness? Many examples. We just passed Disappearance Day of one famous prasadam honorer 2 days ago. Kaliya Krishna. What's his history? What is his history? How did he honor prasadam?
He was taking prasadam from devotees.
He tried to honor the remnants of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal.
And then
he tried to eat the remnants of every single person in Radhadesh. Like, you know, go down your list like that. And if somebody wouldn't give him the remnants, then what would he do?
Then he would give a mango as a gift.
Yeah.
Then the devotee would eat the mango, but it leaves the skin,
yeah,
and throw the skin, and then Kali Krishna, he would go in the back of the trash, take the skin, and then he would leave this.
Yeah, take this then from the trash like that. So that's honoring prasadam, right? And then the result was that when Lord Chaitanya would go into the Jagannath Puri temple, he would wash his feet first. And the rule was that nobody could touch that water taken, not even Supdamana Maharaj, Supdamadara, Nityananda, nobody. It was so strict. So one day he came there, and all of his followers, and he washed his feet, and Kaliya Krishna was there from Bengal, and he put his hand out in front of everybody. But to speak of taking it his head, he drank it, and the water was falling like that. And everybody else was just, Nityananda, they all were so shocked, they couldn't even say anything, you know. And the Lord Chaitanya didn't stop him. And he did it a second time. And Lord Chaitanya didn't stop him. And he did it a third time. And, you know, and then he started to do it a fourth time. And Lord Chaitanya touched his hand and said, I fulfilled your desires as far as is possible. Like that. Then he told Subdhamadara, and everybody could tell it was like this, the formality, the external thing. He said, just see your Gaudiya Vaishnava devotee. He has no culture. Like that. But we could see it was just an external thing for the etiquette like that, so nobody else would try it. But that's the power of, you know, the remnants of Vaishnavas, as he was able to take the water from the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya three times and drink it. Imagine what that does to your body. Your soul. Like that. So, you know, whatever work is done here in the life for the satisfaction of the mission of the Lord, now it has to be intense. Otherwise it's karma yoga, which has been described before, and it burns up the results of your things. And now when you're burned up, you're still doing it for the satisfaction, the liberated state, then it's bhakti yoga. Or transcendental loving service to the Lord, and what is called knowledge, wisdom, becomes a concomitant factor. You know, the cobbler and the Brahmin. What's that story? You know? The cobbler and the Brahmin. The shoemaker. What's that story? What is the story? Just briefly, quickly.
The Brahmin knows all the mantras and I think that he is the most important and can go quicker to the Lord,
yeah,
and the most closely associated why the Kola was just, you know, people who didn't know anything about you had the boxes.
Yeah. So what's he, Narada Muni tests his faith by saying, he said, oh, the cobbler said, what was Narayan doing? He said, oh, he was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. And then the cobbler goes into ecstasy and says, oh, how wonderful. And Narada Muni says, you believe this? You believe that he was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle? And then the brahmana gives, the cobbler gives his reason. Well, what's his explanation? Why does he believe that's possible?
Because God is almighty, why can't he do that?
But he gives a specific experience he has. He's sitting under a tree. He's sitting under a tree, just chanting his bhajan, simple mantra like that. He's engaged in bhakti yoga and maintaining his family as his duty to Krishna and to Vishnu and trying to help other people. And then he says, as I'm sitting here, I see these banyan seeds falling down. You know, figs. And how the seeds inside, they're very small, right? Those are all seeds, right? So banyan is a cousin of a fig tree. Little things are coming down inside, little seeds. And he said, they're falling down. I'm thinking, wow, Vishnu is so nice. He's put a whole banyan tree in every single one of these seeds. So why is it difficult for him to put an elephant through the eye of a needle? So this is jnana, wisdom. It's coming automatically, right? Narada Muni is saying, you don't have to endeavor for it separately. You just engage in bhakti yoga. Okay, any other comments? Anybody has any comments or notes? We're going to go all the way to the end, right? We go to the end of the chapter. Okay. Next text. Kurvana yatra karmani bhagavach chikshayasakrit grinanti guna namani krishna shanu smaranti cha. Oh. And while performing duties according to the order of Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, what kind of bhakti is this? Vaidhi bhakti, Raganuga bhakti, Sadhana bhakti. While performing duties according to the order of Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, Vaidhi bhakti, you carry out the rules, regulations that are given in the scriptures. What happens? One constantly remembers his name's qualities. Yeah, right? Yeah. These are what happens. So by following Vaidhi Bhakti, you should begin remembering Krishna, thinking about Krishna, chanting his name. Prabhupada says Bhakti Yoga forces the practitioner onto the mental platform. You have to be on the altar, you know, waving this incense in circles, four times for the feet, twice for the stomach, seven times around the body. You know, and your mind says, why are you moving this smoking thing around this marble statue? It's like, well, you start thinking, well, not a statue. So our activities in bhakti yoga, vaidhi bhakti, they push us onto the mental platform, and then we start thinking about these things, start chanting, we start remembering Krishna's qualities. Right? It's a very nice description of the whole process that he went through, that he understood. He heard this from the bhakti vedantas. They explained bhakti yoga to him. And he says then, there's a mantra for meditation. Om namo bhagavate tubhyam.
Om namo bhagavate tubhyam.
Tubhyam means unto you. Vasudevaya dhimahi.
Vasudevaya dhimahi.
What does dhimahi mean? Dhimahi means? Meditate. Pradyumnaya anirudaya.
Pradyumnaya anirudaya.
Namashankarshanayacha.
Namashankarshanayacha.
So Sanskrit has eight vibhaktis, endings, to Krishna, from Krishna, with Krishna, at Krishna, by Krishna, Krishnaya, Krishnashna, Krishnat, Krishnena. And so this is a very good example of Aya, Vasudevaya, Pradyumnaya, Anirudaya, Shankarshanaya. So what does it mean? Aya. From Krishna, with Krishna, at Krishna.
To.
Huh? Unto. Krishnaya, Vasudevaya, Devaki. Yeah. Some grammar. He's offering his respects under the Chaturvyu, like that. And Krishna is occurring later. You know, Krishna will occur in the 10th canto. So his first cantos, a lot of times, you find a lot of discussion of the incarnations, the Purusha avatars, like that. And then Prabhupada says Krishna, but it says Vasudeva. You know, Prabhupada makes it kind of obvious. But in the beginning, a lot of these things are very, very general concepts. So the reader can be a devotee, he can go through the different incarnations. We'll discuss that before we finish it. Okay. So this is a meditational mantra for these chatra view, and that's where devotional service, the level of devotional service he's talking about. He's talking about Hari, about worshiping the all-pervading, you know, all-conscious, all-good, you know, personality of Godhead, who manifests in four features. Huh. Thus, he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who has no material form. So this is a very good mantra when you're fighting with pujaris. Like that. Use this. The Lord has no material form. You should worship Him in the form of sound. Yeah? So this is especially pointing out that Bhakti Yoga, you know, takes us to this hearing and chanting. You do so many things in Bhakti Yoga, he said, but this pushes us on to the platform of hearing about Him. Yeah? And then he says something in sound. What is this mantra? Very good meditational mantra. You can chant this. You can teach people to chant this in some different, you know, situation like that. If they don't want to chant Hare Krishna, because it's a cult, then they can chant this mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Tugyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi Pradyumnaya Anirudaya Shankarshanaya Cha. It's very, you chant it over and over again, together with a group. I've done this with psychologists. It's very, really, it's always amazing how, you know, how powerful it is. It's frightening. Oh my gosh. It's like so much power. Okay. So sound is the conclusion. The conclusion of all these things. It's a universal principle. It's not just our movement. The Bible says the same thing. The Quran says the same thing. The best religion is not doing some ritual or this and that. It's hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting is the essence of all spiritual development. Imam svan nigamam brahman avityam mad anushtitam adhanme jnanam aishvaryam svamim babam chakeshava. O Brahmana, thus by the Supreme Lord I was endowed first with transcendental knowledge, jnanam, of the Lord as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, then with the spiritual opulences, and then with the intimate loving service. So what are the three things here he's being empowered with? Being blessed with?
Knowledge.
Jnana. Spiritual opulences, which is?
Siddhis.
Yeah, probably the eight mystical powers. Probably says Aishwarya. Imam Brahmam. Aishwaryam, opulences. And then with the spiritual, and then with, finally, Jnana, Yoga. Probably bhakti, says intimate loving service. Yeah. Bhavam. Yeah. Aishwaryam. Svashmin bhavam. Chakeshava. In his personal bhava. Sentiment. Yeah. And the last text. So he's asking him, so you, please therefore describe the Almighty Lord's activities which you have learned by your vast knowledge of the Vedas, for that will satisfy the hankerings of great learned men. At the same time, mitigate the miseries of the common mass of people who are always suffering from material pangs. Indeed, there is no other way to get out of such miseries. Shanardaji advised Vyasadeva to describe the glories of the Lord to do good to all eight classes of men. The four kinds of people who surrender to Krishna and the four kinds of people who don't surrender to Krishna. Right? Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam is therefore not meant for any particular class of men or sect. It is for the sincere soul who actually wants his own welfare and peace of mind. Thus is the Bhaktivedanta purports and translations. And so this is the end of Narada Muni's class. Here, like that. And he's basically described what he learned. The Bhaktivedantas, in this section, they told him, you know, about this whole process of Bhakti Yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita, in Vedas, there's a thing about, you know, worship Surya. Do this sacrifice and you'll get good health. Worship Saraswati before school starts. It'll be very easy to learn things. And these things work. Because this is before people did, Tantra? Tantra, different sacrifices. And everything became very easy. The rain became regular. All these things. You know, with little effort, you could get everything. But now he says, now you do yantra, machines. You make all these machines to conquer the environment and move water around and systems like that. You know. A yantra can be a machine, or it can be a sculpture, or it can be a diagram, or it can be a way of organizing your thoughts, like that. Yeah. So we, expand it out to make a machine to do everything, right? You know, how many machines? There's time machine on the wall, light machines, music machines, recording machines, talking machines. Yes, sir.
So mind mapping will be yantra also then. This thing they do,
mind mapping. But speculation again with time involved. You get into the time factor. Lamentation, hankering. Then I would say it's speculation, and then you organize your thoughts in a certain way, like that. You know? But with the yantra, there's no time. He's here. Be here now. So go away. Leave our tape recorders behind. There's 108 lines in this. But this is Nishina. And other yantras, you have some square so you can, and it's interesting, you can, drop rocks and water, you can get these patterns. Even before they had like electronics, they had a very thin plate with on a piece of metal rod. You put sand on top, this is what people were doing. And take a violin bow and pass it along a rod like that. And the sand on top of the little metal plate would form into a pattern. Like that. So it would be like a representation of the sound going into a pattern. The Bija mantra for Nrsimhadev is crown, crown. And for Lakshmi it's tring, tring, tring. So, my speculation again, and I think it means as soon as it's done, that the Bija mantra, when properly chanted rhythmically by many Brahmins, with all full, detailed, thing, will result in the yantra. That's a visual representation of getting on water, like that. And then your thoughts, you can organize it like that. Sometimes I go out of the speculative mode and actually get into meditative mode and I can actually see these things, and experience it. It's like, but it takes a lot of austerity and everything else. You have to be in pure goodness, pretty much. I was trying to figure out how to take care of my preaching programs. For many years, I've been trying in Santa Cruz to establish an educational academic institution. And this wasn't working. So I was lying on my back about 4 years ago or 3 years ago, and at 1 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't sleep during the Brajmanda Parikrama. And your intelligence is so purified by that. Every day, same activities, your body is lean. And it's like, so I was lying there, And I was out of the speculative mode. At that point, I could see all the elements in my situation. Like that, I want to take off my shirt, right? My jacket. So some problems, right? that has to be this and that. So at that point, I could see all the things, and they weren't. You twist it, right? Twist it all around, and then it's not going to work. So you start putting it back in the right shape. So I could see a solution then to the whole problem, and then I went back down into the speculative mode to start applying. This is more buddhi, and then speculation is more manas. Is intelligence, the perspective. Right? Everybody has a perspective. I'm God and everybody should worship me. Right? Or else I'm a servant of God and I should serve everybody else. But that's your buddhi, intelligence, your perspective. It's in the heart. You establish that in the morning hours. And when the day starts, then you start thinking on the basis of that. I have to do this, I have to do that. So Narada Muni is still talking about, going beyond this. Bhakti Vedanta, they taught him how to go all the way to the motivation, behind the perspective. how to change that being bestowed by Krishna.
I have a friend in Austria, and they do kind of like alternative music.
Yeah.
And they would put on concerts in churches where they would have like a whole bunch of people around with who do overtone singing and play didgeridoos.
Yeah.
And then they would have and they would use some percussion instruments a little bit. And they have like a bowl of water with lights underneath, change the colors of the lights.
Yeah.
And then they had a little camera on that bowl. And it was projected onto the ceiling of the church. And then they would create, just from that bowl of water, it would create this huge light show of strong geometric patterns through the overtone ceiling.
Yes.
Impressive.
Yep. Okay. So let's take a metal, some alloy, chrome, beryllium, steel. It's like steel is iron. You know, it forms iron. It's just one atom. And it's iron, but with something tossed into it. The most simple kind of steel, which is iron, has carbon. So all your steel atoms get a carbon tossed in every now and again, like that. You know? If you put like a piece of paper on a table with salt on the table, you can roll it across the salt like that. So this iron is like that. All these, it all stacks together, and with some pressure, it'll slide. And the steel will, the iron will like. Sheer, but if you toss in a carbon atom every now and again, it's bigger, so it can't move like that. So steel is more brittle than iron. But then you start tossing in chrome atoms, and beryllium atoms, and you get all these different kinds of alloys, of iron like that. Okay, so let's take a liquid, heat it up. Now we have a liquid metal. Okay. Now as we're cooling it. You subject it to a standing wave pattern that you're talking about. We're chanting in a round, 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 with 36 devotees practicing there. And so you stop and take a breath, it doesn't matter because everybody else, and you're starting to get into repetitive patterns, just a certain repetition, And so finally, you start getting your standing wave and the liquid metal there, and you start doing sub details. And finer and finer details, and then you freeze it. Right? So the packing pattern, when those atoms freeze and come together, it may be a highly energetic, unnatural packing pattern. That can be, simply, very, very easily, all the energy can be released. Right? If you run water up through sand, it forms quicksand. You know this? Quicksand. It will go in the swamp and die. So the water goes away, which happens sometimes, the sand settles and it forms. Packs together a certain crystal structure. But a lot of times it's not stable. So if an earthquake comes along, the whole thing will sink like 6 feet, like 2 meters, because all the sand goes down. So you can get the metal to freeze in a non-stable packing pattern. So now you have this arrow, right, which is charged with energy. And something, then the sound of something, then allows it to like fall down and release the energy. Yeah, this is a very practical way of taking a little bit of Vedic knowledge, sound, and everything else, and just taking it, just thinking about it. This is a whole area. I mentioned this once to a big engineer, and he was like shocked. Wow, it's a whole new science. How sound, subjecting a little metal when it's crystallizing to a sound pattern can produce all kinds of different packing patterns.
So in the end, it was like. Explosive arrow
in the base of the throwing on the ground. But that's this is jnana, this kind of thing. We're talking about going beyond this to bhakti. And bhakti automatically produces these things. Bhakti automatically produces weapons, astras, health, medicine, all these things. You know these things automatically. One time Prabhupada was in Germany. And Hasiduddha came in and said, Prabhupada sitting in the sunlight, chatting. And Hasiduddha said, oh, Prabhupada, in your books it says, I think they were in Munich or something. Prabhupada, in your books it says that the yogis would travel on sunbeams, like that. And Prabhupada said, yes, I was experimenting with that in Munich, like that. So Prabhupada did, he had so many, he didn't manifest it so people wouldn't come to him as a magician. But now people are hearing so many stories.
Prabhupada was just, in a very heavy mystical powers. So these are the Aishwarya, the opulences, right? And first he got the jnana, then he got the Aishwarya. What's the purpose of all these mystical powers? The Christians also acquire this. You can read people's minds, you can fast for days on end. You can, you know, what's the purpose of all these mystical powers? Become famous and rich?
To serve Krishna.
Yeah, to understand Krishna. Krishna is Yogeshwara. So if we're going to understand Krishna, we have to have, you know, become also. But it's dangerous. Always warning you, Christians and everybody else, don't become distracted by these powers. They're meant for just taking you into action to Krishna.
Yeah, I was just worried about that. I was going to say, because I heard about the distraction and
the
time to talk again.
Yeah, we want them just enough, you know, for our service. And, Prabhu says, my Yashoda is the greatest mystic yogini. That's what she uses a disc enough to know Krishna. Because Krishna, you can't. Krishna is the greatest mystery, the greatest thing. So you have to have these powers. Prabhu says, to serve a king, you must be kingly. In the same way, so to serve, understand Krishna, he's Yogeshwara, you must be a yogi. And then you come to this whole point of, you know, motivation, bhakti yoga. So you see how elevated bhakti yoga is. Right? Now, so now everybody's giving a summary, you know, like that. It's given many times in the Prabhupada purport to talk about different topics. So it's okay. He's finished now. Now I'll go ahead and give you our Prabhupada thing here. We have a whole seminar. I was trying to understand, you know, the Prabhupada's books scientifically, analytically. And I discovered there is a whole analytical structure to the books. And you find what purport or Prabhupada mentions it. Yes, this. The Prabhupada's not interested so much in this, like, analytical, speculative mode. Yeah? He wants us to take it to heart. That's right. But it's there. He describes it as there. So generally, the Srimad Bhagavatam is how many cantos? The first two, actually now, are Krishna's lotus feet, like that. Then three and four are his thighs, five is his navel. On the tenth canto, which is his smiling face, this is described in Vishnu Puran or something. And the Prabhupada says in 2.2.12, he says, 2.2.12, purport, he says, don't go beyond the first two cantos as long as you're still overwhelmed by gross sexual desire. If you're not following the four principles, don't go beyond the first two cantos. And then the third canto, three through nine, is all about the manus. That's the didactic device, right? And every day of Brahma, there are 14 manus who just kind of run things, you know, during a certain part of the day for Brahma. On a ship, somebody has to be there 24 hours a day. He's called the officer of the watch. And there's four of them, 6 hours each with an overlap. Right? And the captain is the captain, but he's not there all, you know, 24 hours. And the officer of the watch is the guy who's in charge of the ship with the full power of the captain. Right? For each person. And the airport's called a duty officer. So the manus are in charge. And what's happening is that Sukadeva Goswami is trying to take us through all these different incarnations, avatars, to Krishna. And Krishna is not a Leela avatar. Krishna is not a Purusha avatar. Krishna is not a Manu avatar. Krishna is Avatari. He's the source of all these different incarnations. Yamaraj, Jehovah, Allah, you know. If you kill your daughters, I will chop you in little pieces and spread your body all over the desert for thousands of years. This is in the Quran. Because you're murdering your daughters. You know, mother gave birth to a girl, they don't want it. In the sand. Kill them. Having sex with her mother. So the Quran is full of this, like, Yamaraj. What kind of incarnation is Yamaraj?
Shakti Vesh.
He has a special power for chastising people. So he goes through all these different incarnations, and finally we can appreciate Krishna. Wow!
if we actually follow the course. You don't have to go all the way to Krishna to get out of the material world. In the fourth canto, it was sufficient to get out of the material world and become a great saint. Jayananda never went beyond that, basically. This is, you can take your Bhagavatam, you know, to the spiritual world, you know, and go on studying from Vaikuntha to Shankarshan to Balaram to Vasudeva. Yeah, so then, more specifically, cantos 3 through 7 are about the first mantra. Who's the first mantra? You know? Swayambhuva mantra. And who is his wife? It's all Bhagavatam. We learn all these things. Okay. Satarupa. Yeah. And they were the beginning of biological reproduction. Before Brahma was putting all his children from his heart, from his intelligence, but it went too slow. He had to get bodies for everybody, you know. And so then he said, "Oh, let me speed this up." And so then came Satarupa and Swayambhuva, and then they agreed to engage in these sexual relations to produce children. Like that. And so, on. Okay. So then they had 5 children. Who knows their 5 children? Okay. Yeah. 3 girls and 2 boys. Uti sisters. Yeah. Okay, we have an acronym here.
They're all here. Devahuti. Aditi.
Prasuti.
And? 2 boys.
Uttanapada.
And
Priyavrata. And they occur one after another. And my chart goes. So this is all, if you want to go to a Yahoo group.
Our Yahoo group, I think the name of it is Anjana Sudha Academy. So you go to Yahoo groups, you go to this group, and it's all there in the files.
They have a whole seminar, 1 week seminar with all the details, the whole manual's there. All the graphics. I've been trying to print the graphic for the first 2 cantos, but I just couldn't do it in time. But this is the graphic I'm showing you right now. Like that. There's the 12 cantos. And then, oh, how simple. It took 2 years to do it. Okay. Here's the first 2 cantos. Here's preface, first 2 cantos. Oh, this is deep. And here's Manu Lila, 3 to 9. And then specifically Swayambhuva Manu and his daughters. And then canto 8 is the other 14 Manus. Swarochisha, Tamasa, Uttama. All 14 mantras like that. In canto 9 is our mantra. Who is that? We're in the 7th mantra of Tara.
I'm not sure.
About the Sata mantra. Coming from him is Ram, who else? Pravasa Muni fighting with Ambarish Maharaj. And finally down to Krishna in the correct Kali Yuga. So then, 10th canto, 10th canto is all about Krishna. Expand out. Whoop, click here. And 11th canto goes back, finishing off Swayambhuva Manu, by the Svata Manu, the dynasties after Krishna, down to current time. And disappearance of Krishna. This is Mausala. Disappearance of Krishna, disappearance of the Yadus, disappearance of all these people. And 12th canto is like that. It's called epilogue. The glory, you know, summary of Srimad Bhagavatam, its glory. Okay. So it's very well organized. It's going through different mantras. And over here I have, you know, it's amazing. Over here I have chapters. For example, 3rd chapter is Devahuti, then Ahuti, Prasuti, Uttanapada, Priyavrata, one after another. So, third canto, chapters 1 through 4, Vidura meets Uddhava. 5 to 12, Maitreya meets Vidura. 13 through 19 is a Varaha avatar, which is involved with the appearance of Satarupa and Swayambhuva. And then, 20 through 33, 13 chapters is all about Devahuti and her husband. She married. Devahuti married.
Karma.
Yeah. And they had a son named
Kapila.
Yeah. That's all there. 33 chapters. Okay. Okay. 4th canto, Ahuti, 1 chapter. Then Prasa Vasuti, she married. She married.
A sheep.
Goat.
Goat.
Daksha. Four one Akuti, she married Ruchi. The 2-7 Pasuti, Daksha, Sati, the whole story. And then 13-14, 8-12, Uttanapada.
And Umar.
So like that, it goes through this very systematically. One point where it's kind of, you know, like this, it goes back like that. But it's very organized, very systematic. And you can study it progressively like that. You can take, like, for example, you can just study like the story of Daksha and Shiva. It's a separate thing to focus on it and take it to heart. The whole thing is to understand it's by heart. Right? You know. Did you read C's VNN? I say, well, did you see VNN on the network? So I don't want to know. You didn't hear what happened in Temple in America. I don't want to know what happened. So you take one of these stories and just change it into ISKCON. ISKCON activities. There's a big Sunday feast. You know, temple president came in. You know, this city, the big Sankirtan collector, a lot of money. UC secretary made a temple president. Had a silk dhoti, palm pilots, all these things. Everybody's chanting, Jaya, Jaya, Prabhu, Prabhu. But, unfortunately, the Food for Life guy just came back. He's retired, right? Came back and, you know, just trying to chant his rounds next to the altar. And he changed his clothes. And he was so absorbed that he didn't notice the president come in. So right in front of the Sunday feast, the president stopped everybody and started chastising him, you know, this and that. But unfortunately, this guy was married to the temple president's daughter. Right? So she got to start chastising her own father in front of everybody. People like you do sankirtan just to fill up your bellies. And then she ran out screaming and came back in covered with water. But it wasn't water, it was lawn. Gas into the lawn. Instead of someone on fire, like the Sunday feast, like that. You know? So, the people say, oh, which temple was it? Did she die? No. Okay. The UBC secretary of Lord Brahma, the temple president of the Daksha, the food for life guy of Lord Shiva, the daughter of Sati. Oh, you hear these things, it's just, but it's exactly what's happening in ISKCON. We're all becoming gods and goddesses. And they're the same subtle problems. But if we hear these things, we don't have to go through them. Right? We can avoid these things. Pregnancy of Diti in the evening. It's a whole story. I guess that's easy to translate. You know? She was a Gurukula girl. She married another guy and this and that. And she came back and all of her Gurukula girlfriends had babies. Black babies, red babies, yellow babies, white babies. You know? And they asked her, where's your baby? She said, So that night when her husband came home, she was waiting for him. You only married me because your guru forced you to do. You never loved me. You're never going to have any children. Yes, we are. No, we aren't. Yes, we are. No, we aren't. Yes, we are. Prove it. Right now. Like that. So they had a relationship right at the sunset. They had two horrible twins. So this is the story of Dicky. So it may happen to you. Right? She wasn't interested in gross sex gratification. She was a little, she was kind of justifiably hurt that her husband didn't love her and she didn't have a baby. And so then because of that, she fell in maya. And then, so you know this is happening. And you say, wait a second. Just hold everything. Stop the show. So we want to take Srimad Bhagavatam to heart. This is a summary. The back of the first two cantos. And specifically, the first two cantos. How many chapters in the first canto?
19.
Okay.
One, two, 19.
How many chapters in the second canto?
10. One, two, 10.
And the introduction is like a whole chapter. The preface is also not a lightweight document. The preface tells you why the book is written, what is the purpose, what are the qualifications of the author, what's expected from the reader, his qualifications. So basically, this is a preface to our entire movement. What does this movement hope to do? Why is it being created? What kind of people would it reach? What are the qualifications the preachers have to have? So it's a preface, you can read it and publish it. The introduction basically is a biography of Lord Chaitanya, which is great to give to people who are first coming. You know, 35 pages, you know, well, what's your Hare Krishna movement? Read this. And here's Prabhupada's biography, read that. And here's Nectar of Instruction. Finished. Those 3 books, you get a really solid basis. Prabhupada's biography, you know, is gone. Like nothing. Kind of like, you know, it's not perfect. And then 1 through 3 is Srimad Bhagavatam. Sutta to the sages. Complete. 4, 5, and 6 we do now is Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada 2.
Yeah.
Complete. Yeah. You know, he has a problem. He meets a guru. He asks questions. He gets his answers. Any more questions? Yes, sometimes after this. No more questions? Okay, preach. That's a standard Srimad Bhagavatam class. He just finished now, but tell he finished. But he'll say, do you have any questions? So next chapter, chapter 6, will say, well, tell me about your life, how you realize these things in more detail. That's a part of the standard process, is to hear how the spiritual master and yourself assimilating these things. So, and then 7 through 19 is all about the disappearance of Krishna and his avatar, and the appearance of the next avatar, which is Krishna came with his mission. He's completing the Mahabharata, he's completing the Bhagavad Gita, and that's where the Prema-Bhagavatam begins, after Kurukshetra, philosophically and historically. So Krishna, disappearance of Krishna, disappearance of Pandavas, disappearance of Bhishmadeva, disappearance of Dhritarashtra, these are all different chapters here. Fantastic, you know? And then finally, what? Appearance of Maharaj Pariksit, appearance of Sukadeva Goswami, appearance of
Bhagavatam.
Kali Yuga. So now we have the whole thing is ready. Kali Yuga is coming. And Maharaj Pariksit is there to be the ideal questioner. Prabhupada says the mother. Maharaj Sukadeva Goswami is there to be the father. And then Srimad Bhagavatam is created. So this is all a preface. The first canto is a preface. And the actual Bhagavatam begins in the second canto. And what is the very first phrase in the second canto? First sloka, the first line?
Well, invocation again, Om Namo Bhagavate.
Yeah, it's like Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So here, 1, 2, 3, Sukadeva Swami, Srimad Bhagavatam, 2, Maharaj Pariksit. But he says, oh, tell me again, I want to hear more. And after this class, I'm just going to die. So 4, he kind of glorifies everything. And 5 through 7, again, 3 chapters, he then tells how Brahma spoke this to Narada. Again, 3 chapters. He says, okay, I'll tell you how Brahma spoke this. And then 8 through 10, 3 chapters, how Brahma heard it from Vishnu. It's almost always 3 chapters. So we have how many Bhagavatams? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 times it's spoken. Vishnu to Brahma, Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyas, Vyas to Sukadeva Swami. No, that's not there. But he did. Sukadeva Swami then to Maharaj Pariksit and Sutta. Yeah, they were at the same time. Sutta to the same. So good, it's very organized. So where are you now? Right now?
It's
complete. Everything is there. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is there. Yeah. And we just finished off the Bhagavatam he's describing it. I had asked him a question about, you know, please describe how you realize this yourself. Okay. That's a very important part. Okay. There we go. 16,100 verses in 68 minutes. I presented the other one in 68 minutes. I've done it several times, like summary of the Bible time. And like 4 times I stopped my watch, it's been exactly 108. 4 times. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. Sounds like an authorized presentation. 16,000. What was it?
How many verses?
18.
18,000, come in here, advertisement, come in here, Swamiji, review 18,000 verses in 68 minutes. At no time for his hand leads to his body by more than 4 inches. Yeah. He won't more than 3 feet off the ground at any time. But it's fun. Just going through the whole Bhagavatam, like in 1 hour, because sometimes I'll talk about this story, and sometimes I'll talk about that story. It's just like, you know, it's very wonderful, wonderful. So any questions? Quick question.
How many persons have been broken?
Huh?
How many persons have been broken?
Just me. I do one canto a month. There's 12 months of the Vaishnava year. This is the first month of the Vaishnava year. So I'm one first canto. And, you know, I just do different things, a little bit of some of that, some of this. But 1 year I decided, okay, I'll read the whole Bhagavatam in 1 year, like that. And we started off with 6 people who were also going to do it with me. After the second month, one person left, me and one disciple who has a master's degree in education. And I was going to give up, but he said, no, go on. And he was going to give up, and I said, no, let's go on. But if we hadn't had that association of study partners, we wouldn't have done it. Raj Bihari said, you do the whole Bhagavatam in 1 year. He said, man, the third and fourth canto were just big. And it was fat. We couldn't get through the third and fourth canto completely. But about 90%. And it was, but maybe it was one of the most, if not the most intense Krishna consciousness experience I've had. It's basically you've got to read 40 pages a day, every day, and do all the rest of your service like that. You're not as a student. I was doing my regular class and teaching. And it was like sitting with Srila Prabhupada. You know, I can't think of a more intimate association with Prabhupada than 40 pages of him every day. And it is, you know, saturates your intelligence. I noticed so many things like that. And then finally I began to see like how there was a structure, you know. So then I kind of tried to do a graph in the second and all of course. And then try again, you know. The fifth one, the one I have now, that's the fifth edition. And you find verses then where Prabhupada again he confirms it. He says, we may know what prophet is, you know, here, you know, it's been discussing these, so this in this chapter, you know, the verses is that. This is for analytical, you know, Western intelligence, modern industrial intelligence. This is jnana, right? Speculative knowledge. Okay. And so he said, if you're a devotee, it comes automatically. You just know the Bhagavatam like that. Which is, you know, you're not going to say. But the thing is, Prabhupada is saying, no, this is spontaneous, you just chant for Krishna. And you discover the devotees chant very nicely. Like that. And you don't have to learn the music formally. Yeah? You just really want to please Krishna, you just automatically just pick it up, the rhythm and the humors. But you can also enhance it. You can, you know, like formally studying the music. It's designed for that purpose. It's designed to help you express yourself. Yeah.
So the 7th to 19th,
disappearance of Krishna, appearance of Bhagavatam. Krishna, disappearance of Krishna, one chapter, disappearance of Pandavas, one chapter, disappearance of Vijay, one chapter, disappearance of Dharaspa, one chapter. Appearance of Maharaj Parikrit and the Brahmastra weapon, how he became the devotee he was, his future foretold, Krishna departing from, you know, from Kurukshetra and going to Dwarka, staying there, and now it's just how it was, you know, by Kunta for some time. That's about all the things. So then only the last part of the appearance was Maharaj Parikrit meets the age of Kali. Reward and punishment of Kali, Maharaj Parikrit cursed by a Brahmin boy, meeting of Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikrit. So the last three chapters are especially this one we look how. And then you understand, yeah, this is not an ordinary, he's not an ordinary teacher, not an ordinary student, not an ordinary circumstance. This Bhagavatam class is it. This is the last class you get. After this, you're going to die. Any questions? You ask again, it goes through for the whole Bhagavatam is based upon that. To hear it again and again, and different doubts keep coming up. And then finally you come to the point where you
you're fasting and everything else, you're all free from the body. Yeah. And you can take the jacket off before the snake bird comes to attack your jacket. Okay. Thank you all very much.
And we
also
remember
Yahoo group there if you want to. Pardon? I have forgotten. I think you want. Actually,
can you make copies for me?
Yeah. But the summary I have of the first two cantos on the internet, it also has the same text analysis. Within each chapter, then breaks it down into text number 1 through 20, this topic, text number 21 through this topic.
On the web page?
That's all on the Yahoo group.
Oh.
If you go to the Yahoo group, there's a file area. And you go in there, then there's the graphics are separate, I think, files, but there's also one file which is a seminar manual, which includes all this stuff. And it's designed for a 1-week seminar. An accident, almost. Okay. It's time for breakfast.
So actually, because the next week you have these vocational courses, the next 2 weeks.
Oh.
So you will start, the chapter 6 will start in the next term, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yes, because there are two more weeks.
It's too bad you couldn't finish it off, because it's like that finishes the instructions in Narada. Next term start.
By the schedule, that's
it. Yeah, I know. But it's like, it follows in natural units.
But in your study groups, please review the 5 chapters and consolidate.
Wow.
If you have any questions, write them down, you can send them to the conference, or we can discuss them.
So you do one chapter a year? One canto a year?
Yes.
So that means by the time if you take 6 years to get your master's degree, it'll be Bhakti Bhai Baba. And master means Swami. And Prabhupada said it should be Bhakti Bhai Baba for all the sannyasis. First your bachelor, brahmachari, 3 cantos. That is, and then master, Swami. And then Bhakti Vedanta, which is the same as PhD. Doctoris Philosophos, which means teacher of love of wisdom. This is Bhakti Vedanta. It's a classical education.
Yes, you have to see how to put with all the other courses.
Yeah.
We started to, because first we started to do the first 2 cantos for year 1, and it was too much.
So it is, yeah. Especially the first one, it's so big.
So the students later on, they can. We plan to do some just Shastri courses without any courses in the future. So that's also finished. If they finish the 3rd canto when they get the bachelor's, then they can do the rest.
The master?
Yes.
Yeah, 3 cantos.
Yes.
I mean, 3 years for the master's degree is not. Because also, in the U.S., a bachelor's degree is 4 years. 4 years for the bachelor's degree in the U.S. And usually 2 years for the master and 2 years more for PhD. Six years in university for a PhD. No, 8 years. 8 years for PhD. 6 years for master, 4 years for bachelor.
So it matches then. It matches more or less.
It's very natural.
Lamputer, they are interested that we develop in the future a partnership in postgraduate studies also. They mentioned when we... They said, would you do postgraduate courses? And I suppose, let's see how things develop with Oxford here, but we may be able to do it.
I mean, by the time you'll be having all white hair. No, it's a fact. These things, like it took the Buddhas, they established Nalanda. That was their university. And before, they were a bunch of they were like a cult running around talking about their founder, some mystical guy,
And then Ashok took it over as a management thing. And he organized everything. Okay, we've got to have a university like that. And he established an Ananda. And that's where he did the systematic training of the monks, the philosophy, everything else. But until they had Nalanda, it was just going everywhere talking about things.
What is the name of the place?
Nalanda. Nalanda.
Nalanda.
That was their university. And from there, they spread in India.
In India.
Where specifically? Ashoka. But it took a long, it was some time, maybe several generations after Buddha disappeared. And before they finally brought it to this point, starting Nalanda, acquiring the scriptures, understanding what she was taught. And the Mormons, Brigham Young University, that's their place, same thing, it's how many years after.
That's in
Utah.
Utah.
Yeah, for example, they have a fantastic foreign language department because they're training preachers. They have a fantastic world history department. So if you go to Spain as a Mormon, the United States, the history, the culture, the language, all these things, because your education. And also you're a great basketball player. Mormons are famous. Basketball.
When is the deadline for the guest?
What's that?
When is the deadline for the
voice number? The Ramta is 6. Yes, the deadline. Just. Deadline, the Stevens, please. Just 1 second. Because we decide whether we need committee or not. That's what we said, I think. So yesterday, the discussion we had with the second year students, the conclusion, it took 2 hours, the discussion, so we won't go through all the details unless you are interested. But the conclusion was that at the college